I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike to tell you along with Charlie Long handling things behind the scenes, making sure we rocking and rolling. At 420, Bobby Hebert has hit California. So not that Bobby saw practice, and practices are late. It's 6 to 8 o'clock our time. But we'll get Bob's take on a few things that are happening, certainly along the offensive line and, you know, the depth at the running back position. And Jeff Nowak will join us at 4:40. He saw the practices yesterday, and so we'll get his preview for today's practices. But, Charlie, you know, I've talked about this so many times over the last few years about offensive line depth, and it's the most injured spot on a football team, college and pro, and the Saints have been bit already. You lose Will Clapp for the season, Trevor Penning with the turf toe injury, and that's not just a couple weeks. Man, normal turf toe injury, that's because of severity and how quickly you could come back. That's anywhere from 4 to 7 weeks. He will not be in the starting lineup when the Saints play game one against the Arizona Cardinals. What do you do at that left guard position? Now, I brought it up to Deuce yesterday. I thought the first guy to get a look would be Dylan Radins. He has started in the NFL with the Titans, but, you know, I did some coverage of Titans football, and I don't look at Dylan Radins as a starting offensive guard or a starting tackle in the NFL. He's a backup guy. Deuce, I think, sort of agrees and said, well, would they give Landon Young that opportunity? And I sort of look at Landon that way too. I think he's a bit of a flex player, six man off the bench. Hey, get in there if it's a right tackle, right guard, left guard, whatever, into that spot. Do you put two rookies? Would you give Torricelli Simpkins that opportunity at left guard? And now you would start the season with Banks and Simpkins as your left side. The Saints are going to have to go out and get them a veteran offensive guard. It's obvious at this point that you had some depth, but then before you got out of game one of preseason, that's sort of been taken away at this stage. I think you're going to have to go out, maybe make a deal to pick up a veteran offensive guard from somewhere that can help your football team out. Lemieux has started at guard and center in the NFL. And I look at Lemieux, I think Shane Lemieux is a good player. The problem is he can't stay healthy. And that's been a major issue now. You did bring him back. Charlie, we'll talk to the canon about it. But I think to me right now, that has got to be priority number one, knowing in a couple weeks you're going to line up and your starting five, one of them won't be there. And that'll be Penning.
Right. And the turf toe issue, it's kind of broad, Mike, because different turf toes are different as far as severity. Like, we've heard that it's apparently not a major issue for Penning, but still kind of a moderate turf toe issue, can last anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks, which, as you mentioned, not just cuts into the start like week one, but further into the start of the regular season for Penning. Severe turf toe, I mean, that's something that he's dealt with in the past. This isn't his first foot issue on the Saints, and severe turf toe issues can take upwards of months. So we'll see what ends up happening there. I think it's probably closer to being moderate, where he may miss the first week or couple weeks of the season. But as you mentioned, now your left guard spot is kind of, I guess, the how do you say it? Like, the alarm bell is going off there, Mike.
I heard it. I heard it from my house, so I know it's there. You don't have – I think Lemieux can start in this league. I just don't know how long he'll last as a starter. I don't look at Dylan Radins as a starting offensive lineman. And I know he did start with the Titans, but they weren't really good up front.
No, they were terrible up front.
You think the Saints got problems along the offensive lines? Take a look at what the Titans got. God bless Cam Ward. I just hope he can stay healthy. I know Cam Ward can play, and I think he can play at a high level in the NFL. It's just going to be to keep him healthy. And keep people from knocking him around. You think about as good as Jaden Daniels was last year, he got sacked 45 times, Charlie.
And that's
Cam Ward's going to be in the same range, or if not more.
Right. So, like, once again, like you said, Mike, you probably need to go target some kind of veteran, entering the season. But at the same time, offensive line depth, Steve and I talked about this last night, offensive line depth across the league, even the guys that get cut, are any of these guys quality players? So that's the question that you have to ask yourself. You know, as far as players on the roster right now, even though Radens isn't necessarily a starting player, he's still a veteran that's been around in the league. He's probably going to move over to that left guard spot unless they can swing someone, you know, that gets surprise cut or anything like that to fill in that role. I don't think you're going to throw Torricelli Simpkins out into the fire at left guard right off the bat as a UDFA.
I wouldn't think so, but you might have to.
Yeah, I mean, we'll just kind of have to see how it goes. Those are the candidates right now, though, Mike, especially with Will Clapp going down for the season. By the way, Mike, we have an update on another injury. Ross Jackson of the Locked On Saints podcast posted that the Saints are placing wide receiver Bub Means on IR. As we mentioned, with the Will Clapp injury, when you're placed on IR in the preseason, you are done for the entire regular season. So Bub Means, super, super unfortunate. An ankle issue that really kind of hampered him in his rookie campaign with the Black and Gold. Someone that we were really having high hopes for potentially being the breakout candidate on this roster. And now he suffers another ankle injury in week one of the preseason. And now he's done for the season as well, Mike.
Man, he's snake bit with injuries.
Yeah.
This is back-to-back years he's had injuries. And I know he's worked hard. He was not this jump-out type guy. I know I asked Bob this numerous times. Is he jumping out at camp? And he was like, no. He makes a play every once in a while, but he's lost for the year. So now that's two players that I think the coaching staff felt would be on this roster in September. And Will Clapp, Bub Means, they aren't there. They'll be gone for the year. And you won't have Penning, I think, for at least the first two games of the season.
It's not a great start to the preseason as far as the injury bug goes. Not getting great news here, Mike. And as well as we didn't even mention the Alante Taylor update.
Yep.
He suffered a groin injury, Mike, apparently late last week during practice. And Kellen was pretty vague about it, saying that he was going to miss, quote-unquote, a little bit of time. He said the same thing about Trevor and the turf toe injury as well. So we'll see exactly what that means as far as the definition of a little bit of time. But, yeah, injuries have just started kind of cropping up here late. Entering the preseason, Mike, and it's obviously for some of these guys like Clapp, like Bub Means, season ending, for guys like Penning and guys like Alante Taylor, we'll see exactly how long that timeline actually is.
Yeah, not knowing the full extent of that groin injury, that, and I understand what he means about, he'll miss some time, but man, you hate to see it because he was the guy that they felt, especially on third down, he was your matchup guy against the other team's best wide receiver. Because in today's world, what they do, they stick their best wide receiver in the slot because they think they get a matchup that's very favorable to them offensively by putting that wide out in the slot on third downs. Alante Taylor was going to be that guy, and let's see if he'll be back for game one against the Arizona Cardinals. Got a feeling I know who will be the slot guy for the Cardinals in game one. Didn't have a great rookie season, but I sort of believe that he's in for a big sophomore year with Arizona. We'll be back, and we'll be joined by the Cannon in California right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line from California. He's made it there. The Cajun Cannon himself, Bobby Hebert. Bobby's notebook is brought to you by Rouse's Markets, celebrating 65 years, and we're just getting started. Cannon, we were talking about this in the first segment, and I'll throw it to you. I think the Saints are going to have to go out and get them a veteran offensive guard. I don't look at Dylan Raidens as a starting offensive guard in this league. I think he's a backup guy. Could you put Landon Young in there? Maybe so. I don't think this team is ready to start a left side the season with Simpkins and also Kelvin Banks. I think right now that has, to me, a number one priority. You're going to have to go out and get yourself a veteran lineman, interior lineman from somewhere in the NFL.
Well, I don't know. They got a lot of questions now on the offensive line. You know, how significant is Trevor Penning? Supposedly out here was turf toe. I don't know. You got to be able to run, push off. That's 4 to 6 weeks probably. So you really can, you know, be ready to play the whole season. But it's 3.5 weeks until the season opener, September the 7th. So, yeah, so that comes into question. Now, whether individuals are better suited to play guard or tackle, you know, usually today if you're going to play center, you got to be able to play guard. If you play guard, you got to be able to play center. Or, you know, it also is a big concern, the swing tackle is high on the list. What happens if the starting tackle, the tackles, either one of them goes down? I mean, do you trust Landon Young? I don't know, Mike. I think offensive line has to play well because I think we have to be able to run the football. I mean, I think that if you look at Kellen Moore and how the Eagles won the Super Bowl, you know, you can look at their whole team, how they're winning in the trenches, and how Jalen Hurts, how he performed at quarterback. But how much they relied on Saquon Barkley? And I look at just in the preseason game, they're not going to be able to get away with this. They had like 15 rushing attempts by the running backs. So to me, who's going to be that guy that's going to help out Alvin Kamara? Who's going to be that second or third running back to step to the forefront? Because we averaged 3 yards a carry on 20 attempts. And 15 of those is by the running backs. I think for us to win, I always said this, even Sean Payton to take this approach, and I think Kellen Moore, we got to run like high 20s or low 30s. But I mean, this by the running backs have 28 to 32 carries, rushing attempts. So let's just say 30. And the reason why I bring this up, that you look at Alvin Kamara, where he's at. I still think he has a lot left. And but you look how that Saquon Barkley was used with Kellen Moore. Mike, he had 345 carries, that being Saquon Barkley last season, when Kellen Moore was calling the plays. So you can see how they were structured. When you look at Alvin now going into his ninth season, and he's really tallied three of his four highest carry totals in the last four seasons. And that was 228 last year, 223 in 22, 240 in 2021. Well, that's nowhere near 345 carries, like a workload Saquon Barkley. So who's going to be that second or third running back? I mean, Kendra Miller, I mean, he had six attempts, but he had...
Well, I don't know about Kendra, Bob. I don't know about that.
No, and then look, Clyde Edwards-Helaire had four attempts. He averaged 1.5 yards. That's why I don't know. Cam Akers averaged 2.3. He had four attempts. So I don't know. There's a lot of questions. Like I was saying, like, I don't know, before training camp, after the OTAs, mini camp, 6-7 wins. I mean, I know they still have two preseason games left, but I'm more like same song and dance, same win totals last year, and maybe six might be the ceiling. I don't know. So you know, are we picking in the top five then? What does it take, the overall record? So when you talk about, you know, we have to stay healthy. We said that Trevor Penning, him not being available right now, and then also the depth along the offensive line, whether it be guard or tackle. I don't know, Mike. I'm not so optimistic today. I'm going to see him practice today in California. I don't know. It's still up in the air whether they're going to go against the Rams tomorrow. I think from a logistics standpoint, it's like, oh, are y'all going to come here? Or, I know y'all want us to go to Irvine. And I'm thinking right now, I think they play on Saturday. So how competitive it would be in that Thursday practice. It'd be guys that aren't, I guess, playing on Saturday for the Rams. Matthew Stafford's not playing. So I'd be interested to see what happens with the Saints and the work they get in today and tomorrow before their Sunday game against the Jaguars.
Bob, the the agent for Mike Panasuk has made the announcement. The Saints have signed him. He's a center. He played in the XFL. He's a former defensive lineman in the conversion to playing center guard. That's who they've signed up. But he's mostly played center since he got converted from the defensive line. He was in the XFL this past season. But again, they're not just on the streets, okay, with their hands up. Hey, come get me. I can play in this league. There aren't guys like that, especially at that position. And you brought up a good point. No one has depth. No one. Look what happened with the Chargers. You lose Rashawn Slater for the year in a practice. Now you're going to move Joe Alt, who had played right tackle. You're going to move him to left tackle. And now you got to find somebody to play the right tackle position. Who's going to be the swing man for the Chargers? You look at the Eagles, who had been very fortunate last year with injuries along the offensive line. And almost back-to-back practices, they lose Landon Dickerson and Kenyon Green. Now, it's not super serious injuries, but still, they've lost two guys already that they were counting on, and Dickerson's a tremendous interior offensive lineman who has played both center and guard. It does go to show those high-contact areas you're going to lose people, and you think you have depth until the season starts, even preseason starts, and it gets wiped out. That's a major area for the Saints, and as you brought up, come on, you can't ask Alvin Kamara to carry the football 340 times in a season like Barkley. He's not going to last that way. You got to find kind of a running mate with him.
Oh, Mike, it might have to be two or three. I mean, can we even find a third guy? And listen, everybody wants to be at least seven deep. You know, you have your five starters, then you have the swing interior guide and the swing tackle. Right now, with Penning going out, do we even have five? I mean, I would say no. And then you look at it, okay, when you're going to have depth too, and we're counting on them, and like I said, that's why depth is so important, and we're counting on them, we cannot afford, like, Calvin Banks to go down. You know, I know he's a rookie and just got here, but look how much they're counting on him. And then the second-year guy in Fuaga. They kind of got a lot of guys and not a lot of experience, but if you can play, you can play. That's the role. But you look at Kamara, I think if they truly were healthy up front or they're getting their job done and we can help out the quarterback, that he needs to be utilized because I still think he can play at this level. You know, even though you go there, like his heyday, I think, was 17 to 20 as far as when you look at average per carry. And I think it might look more like that early in his career now where – from 17 to 20, Kamara averaged basically 249.5, so let's say 250 touches per season. So you have to look at how can you get his hands on the ball, whether it's in the passing game, to get him in space, or actually running. And in that span, if you look at it, Mike, this would be winning football for the Saints right now, offense where they're at. He averaged 6.2 yards every time he touched the ball. Boy, if we can get that production – but again, they got to give Alvin a chance to get started. And then when you're giving him a break, what running back can come up there and have that high average? That's why I said, are we stopping them running the football? And we needed to flip that. It'd be interesting to see if we can flip that against the Jaguars, where how about we average 4.5 yards a run and only give up 3 yards a carry. So I'm interested to see just from that perspective against the Jaguars on Sunday when it comes about. Now, if you look at it, with Kamara touching the ball, Mike, 250 from, I said, from 17 to 20. Well, you look at the last four seasons. Like, you look at 21, 22, 23, 24, the last four seasons. And last year, he touched the ball 296 times. And his average per touch in those seasons, it went from 6.2 to 4.8. Right now, I would take that.
Yeah.
what you think, like, he's really rolling when he's 6.2. Well, if he can be anywhere near five, I would take that. But I think, Mike, it's going to take, like, almost his career high in touches. And it's not purely running. Like I said, just getting his hands on the ball, what he did last season, even though you look at his age, that being 296, where you look at the production with Saquon Barkley, okay, so that's almost 300. Well, that's, like, basically 50 carries or touches less than Barkley. So, Mike, I don't know. We need help, and it's a great opportunity for guys to step up. You know, who is that going to be? And, you know, you look at guys that have stepped up in the preseason game, and you need that. Like the veteran that's stepped up, you can even look on the defensive side, Chris Rump. You know, all of a sudden, he's putting up numbers. He gets a sack, you know, a quarterback hurry. He gets three total tackles, a tackle for a loss. And then Isaiah Foskey plays the whole game. He's not even on the stat sheet. Like, what? Come on, dude. And then I look at Jalen Ford. You know, he led the team in tackles. We'll be trying to make the team. That's what you got to do when you're actually playing games and tackling. Like, Ford, he needs to have another good game. Because we have depth in linebacker. I'm not worried about our linebacker position right now. With Stutzman and all. You know,
DeMar Bob, I could say the same about defensive line. You know, the one thing I tell people all the time, I think the Saints got it right with Kellen Moore as head coach. I think they got that part right. And their defense is going to be better this year. You look up front, I think that that's the one area to me that is much improved from a year ago, and I think their ability to stop the run. Because you have talent and depth at linebacker and also along the defensive line.
Yeah, and then you look, okay, they ran against us, and this makes a difference. You know, the Chargers, and you got to count the quarterback. You know, Trey Lance, he averaged like basically 7 yards a carry. Now, I think they're going to have a game plan more for Kyler Murray in that first game against the Cardinals. There was no game plan trying to stop Trey Lance from running in a preseason game. But I think that's another one that has to stay healthy. And he's the number one target in free agency is Godshaw. And I said, look, he didn't play against the Chargers. So his absence, you know, I think how you look at them trying to run the football consistently. But I think you're going to see like the Cardinals, I think even the 49ers, whatever, where they're not just going to give it to Christian McCaffrey just kick off the season, but they're going to do it by committee. That's why it's so important to have that, you know, stall of running backs where you have like two or three that you can trust. But I think, Mike, you're going to see more of this. I think even with the Prince, you know, Trevor Lawrence and the Jags, I don't know. I think when the game's all set, they'll have 30 rushing attempts. I mean, no matter who's in the game, you just look with the Chargers. They, you know, 148 yards, but they ran the ball 34 times. So, Mike, I just think we better, again, to set the tone and to make teams have to change and to help all young quarterbacks, we got to have to run the ball and stop the run. I don't care if the rules have changed and you throw the ball all around the field. Do you want to have a chance to – like we're heading in the right direction and have an opportunity to win more than five games, we have to do that, or I don't see us having success.
Bob, I'll let you go with this and give them good luck at practice. But I did a show out in Jacksonville this morning. I asked them what was the one area that really stood out for the Jaguars. They said the talent level and depth at running back. Now the question mark with them is guess what? Offensive line.
Yeah, you could have all the horse. You could have those stud backs, but you got to make a hole for them.
Yeah.
You know, they can't run into a wall, and the NFL is too fast. You can't, you can just go up the middle and bounce it outside. Man, they'll track you down like you know what. And, Mike, you need to have the type of game that this, to me, was like what you dream of as a draft pick or you're a rookie trying to impress the coaching. And we've always been good with seven-round picks. It's Diggs. You know, he had fresh off. Remember, he had the two sacks in his scrimmage, and then he gets four tackles, a sack, and two tackles for a loss in the game. Now, can he build upon that? Like you said, the depth on the line. So when you're a young player, those are the kind of games you have to get the coach's attention.
Bob, go watch practice. Appreciate your time and your insights, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to talk tomorrow, and I'll break down what I'm actually going to see today. And then, you know, tomorrow in practice. Because they're going to be practicing earlier tomorrow, so I'll be able to talk about both practices on Sports Talk tomorrow afternoon.
Awesome. Thank you, Bob. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Right.
That was our Odyssey Sports Training Camp coverage segment brought to you by GEICO. Switch and save. Get more with GEICO. When we come back, we'll have on with us Jeff Nowak, who watched the practices yesterday from California. Also, his take on what he saw this past weekend, what he's looking forward to this coming weekend against the Jaguars. Right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line from California. And we got on with us Jeff Nowak, who does a great job, sideline reporter, also on our digital sites. And Odyssey Sports training camp coverage is brought to you by Geico. Switch and save. Get more with Geico. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us. We're talking about this with Bob. The Saints did officially placed Bub Means on the IR, which he's lost for the year, and they signed Mike Panasuk. I scouted Mike when he was at Michigan State. He was a defensive tackle. And then he's got switched over to the offensive line. He has sort of bounced around the National Football League. I know he was with the Raiders for a time, Panthers. He was with a third team, too. It just escapes me at the Indianapolis. And then he was in the XFL with St. Louis this past season. But that's concerning to me, offensive line play, especially when you've lost two guys and you haven't even played the second preseason game. And knowing Penning, he's not going to be there for the early part of the season with that turf toe injury, and you lose Clapp for the year. The Saints are going to have to me, go out and get themselves a veteran offensive lineman, interior guy, pretty quickly.
Yeah, and I do want to say in advance, my trip out to California has been a mockery of me messing up time zones. You did catch me on the bike, so if I sound a little out of breath, don't worry, I'm fine. But yeah, I think their biggest issue is tackle right now. Like, I know Trevor is hurt. He has the turf toe, it sounds like. I think they're hopeful they can get him back early in the season. But right now, you look at the tackle spot, and you saw Dylan Radin's out there. He does not look like a starting tackle, right? So I think they need to find some depth there on the tackle for sure.
Yeah, and with Landon Young, you understand he's probably the sixth man. He's the guy that if somebody goes down, you would put in right away because he's got experience doing it. People say, well, Raiden's did it too. Yeah, but I watched Raiden's with the Titans. He wasn't very good. He's not a starting offensive lineman, guard or tackle in the NFL. You got to look around. And we'll, the other narrative is, we'll put Torricelli in there, Simpkins, as your starter. So if you're playing quarterback, you got a rookie left guard and a rookie left tackle. I'm not real sure that's how Kellen Moore wants to start things out. And I like what I saw from Simpkins. I'll be honest with you. I was going to ask you, Jeff, because you got to see him a lot more in training camp. But he was very poised for a young guy. Okay? You were not expected to get put in the lineup. And if you were expected to get put in there, you go play guard, not center, until later on. And then, hey, kid, after the second play, hey, kid, you got in there and make the snaps. Hey, I was impressed overall and how he handled it. And one thing I do know, he's a big center. I ain't got a lot of guys that size playing center in the National Football League.
Yeah, I mean, I think at times when you're a young player, you're almost better off getting thrown in like that because you don't have time to think about it and get nervous. You just got to go do it. And that's what stood out to me is, like, he wasn't out there thinking. He didn't look confused. He just went and hit somebody, right? It seemed like he got the line calls reasonably correct. Like, there's going to be times you get run over. That's just life in the NFL. You got to bounce back. It can't be, you know, you lose one rep, so you lose the next three. But no, I mean, I was impressed with him from the start. You know, he's just a big guy who can move around. He's what you would call a people mover, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, they signed several players yesterday. They didn't sign a veteran center. They had a couple in for tryouts. They didn't sign him. So I think that tells you that they at least feel comfortable giving him a shot to win that job.
The other thing, too, is, and I've talked to Bob about this, because when you get asked to do shows across the country and everything outside of Louisiana, he said, what's the one area for the Saints you think will be improved the most? And I said defensive line play. They got some talent, and they got some depth up front. And, okay, with the additions of Rump out on the edge, Davin Godshaw inside a defensive tackle, I think Jonah Williams, unless he gets hurt, he's made this team. He's a damn good football player. He's never going to excel in one area, but he knows what to do, and he's a really good technician. I think that is the one area that you can point at and say, that's going to be a lot better than it was a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, from scheme alone, I think you're setting yourself up for a little more success. Because like the QB run game, for instance, you're going to have a lot easier time containing QB runs with the outside linebackers who are more athletic than you were ever going to with the big bulky 4-3 defensive end. It's just, it wasn't going to happen. That's why I'm not going to overreact to Trey Lance running around. I think that was more just, hey, you're working on your stuff. They're going to do what they do. Once you're game planning for that, I think you're in better shape. But now Jonah, you know, we talked to Jonah yesterday, and you know, you look at the guy, he just looks like a football player. He's like, if you saw that guy on the street, pick one of these guys who's a professional football player. You're like, ah, oh, it's that guy. You know, he looks like he's beat somebody up on the way here. But no, he's physical. He's a veteran. He knows Brandon Staley's defense. I just, you know, the interesting thing is there's so many interior defensive linemen, outside linebackers, that you're going to have guys that get cut that have played well, right? Right now, I think Chris Rumpf is like right there in terms of, hey, are you going to keep a second round pick named Isaiah Foskey, or are you going to keep a guy who's been contributing all throughout camp? And, you know, that's going to be an interesting question for this new coaching staff, who isn't going to be tied to those draft picks the way the last regime might have been.
Jeff, last night's practice session, I just want to kind of get a recap of it. What did you kind of see, like what went on in the practice? Obviously, they practice again tonight, so we'll be talking with you tomorrow as well about that. But just kind of recapping Tuesday night's practice.
Yeah, so obviously the injuries are a factor, right? Not having Alante Taylor out there changes a lot. You know, I asked Kellen about it. He said it's going to be a competition. I would guess Terrell Burgess, Ugo Amadi would be the first ones off the line to get a competition there. But, you know, you have options. It doesn't have to just be a safety. You could look at a corner. You maybe even look at a linebacker to fill some of that role. But, you know, that's the big thing that they're going to have to figure out. With the quarterbacks, we continue to see long drives, which are not necessarily a problem, but they're long drives because there's no downfield passing. There's no downfield attacking. So you end up with a 16-play drive that ends on a tipped ball interception because defenses all day long are going to gamble, hey, if we force you to run 16 plays, you're going to make a mistake at some point. And that's exactly what happened on the Spencer Rattler drive yesterday. It went 16 plays, it converted a couple fourth downs, and then a ball tipped off Dante Pettis's hands. Julian Blackman takes it. It's another long drive with no points. So, you know, I know Deuce talked about this yesterday. What I need to see out of these guys is more willingness to attack the defense, to push the ball downfield, to play the game on their terms. And we just haven't seen that yet. And so I'm hoping this week things kind of open up, because I think those two drives, you had one yesterday from Shuck that ended in a touchdown, but just in general, I want to see more explosion out of this offense.
Jeff, one of the things I think it's a little bit different today. Over the last couple of years, you've seen this sort of evolving in the NFL, is that you take your top receiver and on third down, obvious passing situations, you put him in the slot. So your slot receiver, you know, he's your number one guy now, and now you're moving him inside. Your slot corner better be damn good. That's what makes the Alante Taylor injury alarming. And listen, I think Alante's a really good football player, but his role in this defense is going to be on third down. You've got to cover the top guy for another team. They don't keep him out wide anymore. They put him in the slot. Who takes that spot? And as you brought up, Burgess is a guy. Amadi also maybe is involved with this too. But it kind of reshuffles your secondary. It goes to show in the rebuilding stage how thin this team is, basically everywhere but along the defensive line and that linebacker.
Oh, yeah, no question. Yeah, I feel like linebacker is probably the deepest position at this point. But, you know, that star position is so important, not only because you expect a lot of that player, which you do, you're just in the middle of everything. Like, you have to communicate with all three levels of the defense. Like, if you don't get that part of the defensive scheme right, it all falls apart around it. So not only does that player have to get the job done, you have to trust them to be a high IQ player, which is what makes it a little difficult to just say, hey, you drafted Jonas Sanker, throw him in there. Well, you're just asking a lot out of that position. And so, you know, in terms of the injuries, like Trevor Penning, I think you could survive without him if you had to. I don't know what the drop-off would be. Alante Taylor, the drop-off is steep. So, you know, that's just going to be something they have to figure out.
Jeff, go catch your breath. We appreciate your time and insights, buddy. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Appreciate that, y'all. Have a good one.
All right. That was Jeff Nowak's report. Our Odyssey Sports Training coverage is brought to you by Geico. Switch and save. Get more with Geico. We'll be back to finish it off here on hour number one of Sports Talk right after this break. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Zach Nagy will join us covering the LSU practices right after this news break on the Big 870 WWL.